Like the stand and we sing together the opening.
That no one could count stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palms in their hands. And they shouted aloud, "Salvation belongs to our God upon the throne and to the Lamb." O rejoice in the Lord, you righteous.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
A huge multitude that no one could count
stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palms in their hands. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you were dead. Now you are alive forever. Amen. Strengthen us who must die soon, so that we turn from our sins and follow you through this world, and then follow on through death into life everlasting. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
He leadeth me beside still waters.
He restoreth my soul.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life,
and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, the 21st chapter. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand. Alleluia, alleluia, Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus said, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Thank you.
be seated. Evelyn and Diane, family and friends of Al Barraby, or Sonny, as I heard you call him so often, Evelyn. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why is death so painful? Why is it so troubling for those who are dying? Why is it filled with so much sorrow for those of us who remain here? If death is nothing but a transition to immortality, why so much pain? St. Paul tells us, the sting of death is sin. This is what he says, so simply and clearly. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is what makes death such a bitter enemy. Sin rules us with an iron hand. Our bodies break down because of sin. Not just this sin or that sin, but the sinful condition we all inherited from Adam. Al's body broke down because of that. Raul, you said it just a few minutes ago when I greeted you. His body was falling apart, but his mind was all still there. And not only the body, but also the conscience. Sin stings the conscience. You know how it is, the way your sin pops to mind and pulls at you. Those words we wish we'd never said. That thing we know we shouldn't have done. That missed opportunity to do or say what was right. And when death draws near, it often becomes more acute. Our sins seem to come closer and more frequently to our mind. It's like our dying body is reminding us of all the ways we've fallen short. And then comes the worst part. Death rips apart the body and the soul. It attacks our very humanity. It pulls apart what God had joined together. It destroys what God called very good. Al wasn't only a body, and he wasn't only a soul. He was that body, frail as it became, and that soul, alive and sharp to the end, joined together. The wages of sin is death, St. Paul says. As sinners, we've earned it. But as we heard in 1 Corinthians, St. Paul has the nerve to challenge death. To me, it sounds like a David and Goliath matchup. Who is Paul to face off with death? Who is Al to challenge death? Or who are you and I? But Paul does it anyway. David picks up his stones and he slings them at Goliath. He says, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. He means die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in glory. And he is coming soon. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. And this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Yes. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much in there, But the short and sweet of it is this. St. Paul doesn't fear death. In fact, not only does he not fear death, he taunts death. He mocks death. He calls death for the Christian nothing more than a little sleep. How can he say that? Because of his confidence in Jesus Christ. Because while Christians still suffer the physical effects of Adam's sin, the Christian does not die in his sins. The Christian dies absolved, forgiven, washed clean, ready for the change that takes only a moment, a twinkling, and then he's home. Whoever believes in Jesus is counted as sinless for the sake of Jesus Christ. Death cannot hold Jesus, and so it cannot hold those whom Jesus holds, those covered by his blood and joined to his resurrection. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. But why say all this at Al's funeral? He wasn't a churchgoer. For not being a churchgoer, I have to say I probably knew him better than some people at church, having visited Karen so often at home, and then having visited Evelyn and Al throughout the years at various times. But Al wasn't a churchgoer. I wish it had been different. I think his life would have been better if he'd come to church regularly. If he'd heard God's word of forgiveness Sunday after Sunday, if he'd received the healing power of Christ's body and blood with his mouth week after week, taste and see that the Lord is good. I think it would have shaped his life as a husband, 66 years and counting with you, Evelyn, and his life as a father and a grandfather in a different way. But he didn't. And I'll be honest, I think that was his loss. But his dying was different. I said earlier that sin and doubt often grow more acute for the dying person, but for Al, as death drew closer, so did Jesus. He drew closer too. In fact, Jesus was even closer than Al's own sin. Over the final months, I said I'd had an opportunity to know him over years, but over the final months in particular, I had the opportunity to minister to him in ways that I'd never had before. When he was in the CCU, the chaplain would come by, and Al told the chaplain that he had a Lutheran pastor. Maybe a bit surprising for someone who still identified himself at times as a Roman Catholic, though not practicing. And as I visited, I had an opportunity to invite him to confess his sin, and he answered honestly and clearly, with no hesitations, with no excuses, just an honest yes. And I want to read to you the questions that I asked him. Do you confess to Almighty God that you are a poor, miserable sinner? He said, yes. Do you confess to our merciful Father that you have sinned against him in thought, word, and deed? Yes. Do you confess that you justly deserve his temporal and eternal punishment? Yes. Do you believe that our Lord Jesus Christ died for you and shed his blood for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins? Yes. Do you pray God for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of his beloved Son to be gracious and merciful to you? Yes. Finally, do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? And he said yes. And then and there, with my hand on his head, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, sent from Jesus crucified and risen to Al there, I forgave all his sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. He took away the sins of Al, paid in full, so that even though Al suffered the physical effects of his sinful condition, he did not die in his sins. He died free of them.
And as a further testimony of that forgiveness, Al also received the precious body and blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Communion. Who knows how many decades it had been since his last communion? Death drew close. Jesus drew closer. Jesus came as victor over death. At one point there in the hospital, Al and I were talking, and I picked up this hesitation, this nervousness that he had about what was coming, especially about whether his body would be raised on the last day when Jesus returns in glory. And the reason he was asking or had a question was because he already had planned for his body to be cremated. I do think the best practice for a Christian is the burial of a body, but limited space in the family plot had led Al to decide on cremation. And he was wondering, when Christ comes again in glory, what's going to happen to me? Good question. St. Paul makes clear, the dead will be raised imperishable. This mortal body will put on immortality. Death is swallowed up in victory. And no Al being cremated cannot stop that. God, who first made Adam out of dust, can and will remake Al in the same way. We will bury his remains next week in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection on the last day. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has swallowed up death forever. He has removed the stinger. Evelyn, you and Al had a long life together. You recounted for me the 8 years he spent in the army. I think you said 3 in Germany, 1.5 years in Korea, and it could have been more, except that Vietnam was on the horizon and he had 2 children and preferred to get out and be home with them. The two of you enjoyed your early life together in different parts of the country. You mentioned the 57 Chevy that took you to Texas, New Jersey, North Carolina, and Georgia. I'll be honest, I have a hard time envisioning you anywhere except Fitchburg. You're such a staple of the neighborhood there. In the Army, he served as a cook, went to radio school and did electronics, and then after the Army, he worked as a millwright, and you settled into your life together on Belmont Street. From my own experience, I know how much Al liked to talk. And what was so funny is that he often didn't seem like he wanted to talk, but he'd do it anyway. I can imagine, as you said, Evelyn, how a little hello, even in the grocery store, would turn into a much longer conversation. Like I said, it was true even when he was grumpy and didn't seem like he wanted to talk. He couldn't help himself from getting into a conversation, which is why I took advantage when I would go to visit, and it was to visit Evelyn, but I'd pop in on Al, and I knew I'd get a chance to talk with him, too. And it was to visit you as well, Evelyn. He also enjoyed fishing. He told me about how much he enjoyed fishing with his friend Tom, who also has gone ahead. On that theme of fishing, Al shared with me a letter that he'd received from the previous pastor here, Pastor Michael Heinz, who, like me, often visited Karen and cared for the family. I don't remember what year this letter was written, but he'd been holding on to it for quite a while. It was short and to the point. And Pastor Heinz referred in this letter to the gospel passage in which Jesus calls the disciples to become fishers of men. And he pointedly said to Al that one day he would get swept up in that same net. And he was right. All the fishing Pastor Heinz had done, which by God's grace I was able to continue, eventually did haul in that catch. Death drew near. Jesus drew closer. And now Al belongs to that great multitude clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, shouting, "Salvation belongs to our God upon the throne and to the Lamb." Now he is with the saints. And in that we rejoice. And he's there with Karen, there with little Michael Job, her son, with all the saints who have died in Christ. They know even better than we do how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And that offer is for you as well. Yes, death remains painful. It's painful to be back here less than a year from when Karen died. But it's not the end. The Lord says through the prophet Isaiah, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, 'Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come and save you.' And the lame will leap like a deer." That always came to mind with Karen, but of course with Al's later years, it comes to mind with him as well. "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and they shall come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a promise. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new, including Al. The very last thing I wanted to mention, and I have a visual example, though it's hard to see. When Al went into the hospital, I brought him this holding cross made by one of the members of the congregation here, and I gave it to Al. I think the first one got lost in the process of moving rooms, so I gave him another one, and he treasured it. The man who made these describes the holding cross in this way. He says that it's unsymmetrical, so it can be held comfortably in either hand. As you hold it, know that Jesus holds you close to him. He is Emmanuel, God with us. You are his most loved child. He died for your sins and rose again so you can be sure he is alive and that you will live with him always, today, tomorrow, and forever. As you hold this cross, you may want to pray to Jesus. His love and grace endure forever. Praise the Lord. Al received the cross, treasured the cross. He had the words to go with it. He confessed Jesus as his Savior. These promises were for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. The peace that passes all understanding now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing together the hymn of response.
the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection, Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet, Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family and friends of Al, especially to Evelyn and Diane, and to all who mourn, comfort in their grief and assure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love, Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, hear your disciples as we pray, for we long to leave and be with you, which is far better. When we are with you, we need nothing else on earth, but we are always with you. You lead us by the hand, you guide us with your counsel, and afterward, you will take us into glory. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Our souls long, they ache for the courts of the living God. We shall be satisfied when we awake to see your face. Until then, as you have taught us, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Now, Lord, you dismiss your servant to peace, as you have promised. For my eyes have seen the salvation you prepared before the face of all people, a light to the light of the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you.
and of your spirit.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord Jesus, God and Savior, we thank you for every earthly gift you gave to Al in this world, from life itself to the love of those who are gathered here now, and for every gift, earthly and heavenly, that you gave to us through him. But above all, we thank you that you loved him and carried his sins in your own body on the cross, and that you rose from your grave to find him, and through your church held out to him your wounded hands, and through your word and sacraments gave him forgiveness of all his sins and eternal life. O Christ, judge and master of us all, grant that all of us who loved him here may now look to your love, that we may grasp your hands scarred for us and believe and receive your forgiveness. Give each of us grace to follow you in this life, that each of us may also leave this life with you and enter the paradise prepared for those who love you. Amen. Bless ye the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.